be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. When the days for Jesus to be taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there. But they would not welcome him, because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they journeyed to another village. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's Gospel, we see a powerful lesson about receptivity. Jesus had resolutely set his face on Jerusalem. That was now going to be his goal. This is the turning point, the halfway point of St. Luke's Gospel, conceptually, when Jesus had fixed his face on what he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem for us and our salvation. He was not going to be deterred. But he wanted to save everyone. He's starting with the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but he wanted to embrace all. So he was going to bring the greatest enemies of the Jews inside the fold. That's what he wanted to do first, to show that he was dying for everyone. So he sent his advance team, a couple of the apostles, up to Samaria in order to sort of get things ready for all of them to arrive. But because the Samaritans, who knew what Jesus was doing, who likely had met Jesus before when he had encountered that Samaritan woman at the well, we don't really know for sure the timing, but it's almost certainly after that encounter when so many of the Samaritans around Jacob's well recognized that Jesus was the Savior of the world. Because he was going up to Jerusalem, no place in the inn. "We'll accept you, Jesus. You're welcome to stay here, provided that you follow these conditions. If you're not willing to follow these conditions, no room for you." Now, St. John would write that he came into his own, and his own accepted him not. This mystery of Jesus' rejection is something we need to ponder quite a bit as Christians. First, because occasionally we're going to be rejected. We need to be able to relate that to the Lord. But even more importantly, we need to make sure we're never guilty of that same rejection. And in fact, many of us are. That brings us to the saint that we celebrate today, St. Jerome. St. Jerome is the patron saint of all scripture study because he had translated the Bible from the original languages into Latin, the common language of the people, in the late 300s. St. Jerome once said powerfully that ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. If we don't know sacred Scripture, we don't know Jesus. Now, there's a facticity about that. That just as a mere objective statement, if we really don't know what Jesus has said to us in sacred Scripture, if we don't know what the Old Testament says about him, if we don't know what the New Testament authors would have said back with regard to him in an application of the faith, then we do know who he is. We may have some type of a personal relationship with him. But it's like a man and a woman meeting with each other, and they know that they both like the Red Sox, but don't know anything else. So much more there. Jesus, just like he was knocking on the door in Samaria, constantly knocks on our door. He wants to give us that sacred knowledge through his word. But a lot of the times, we don't open that door. We'll put all types of conditions. "Lord, I'll learn this if. But Jesus just keeps banging with those soft, gentle hands. Not just in our heart, but it starts in our heart because he wants us to love that gift. But he's also banging on our skulls. Early in the life of St. Jerome, his father had given him an incredible education in Dalmatia, modern-day Yugoslavia. sent him to study with the greatest classics teacher of the age who was there in Rome. Eventually, he graduated with flying colors. He started to go and work more or less as a rhetoric teacher and a writer. But he got very ill. He was delirious with some type of influenza. When he was on his deathbed, he hallucinated in the sense that he was at his judgment. And they said, "Who are you?" And Jerome said, "I am a Christian." And the response came, "You're lying. You're not a Christian. You're a Ciceronian." Cicero was that great Latin author about whom St. Jerome had written so much, whose writings he had studied. But essentially what God was saying to Jerome through his delirium was that he was a far better Ciceronian than he was a Christian. He knew far more about the writings of that great Latin orator than he did about what God had himself given. You know, I think for a lot of us, God can say the same thing. Once upon a time, God would have said to me when I was around Jerome's age when this happened, "You're a scientist." I may know a little bit about God, but you know the Krebs cycle in biochemistry far better than you know the Psalms. Say about a lot of us, you know anatomy, if you're a nurse, far better than you know the anatomy of sacred scripture. If you're a construction worker, you know far more how to build houses than you do to build your spiritual house on solid rock. For a good cook, you may know far more about this whole litany of recipes than you do about all the great food with which I want to nourish you. Many of us as Catholics have gotten used to the fact that we don't really think that God's serious when he gives us this gift of sacred scripture. If we know it a little bit, well, we're better than 99% of other Catholics, so we're fine. God really wants us to become experts in sacred scripture. Not necessarily experts in Hebrew or Greek, but experts in the content of sacred scripture. I've told you the story once before, but I love to tell this story because it really converted me. When I was at the Green Airport a couple years back, after I had taken off my shoes and taken off my belt and emptied my pockets and all the rest of the stuff that we have to do to go through security, and I was putting everything back on, I looked up after tying my shoes and I saw there was another priest there in clerics. For whatever reason, most priests don't travel with clerics. I've never figured that one out. I hear more confessions in airports than I think some priests do in their churches. And people are grateful. Especially people who are freaking out to fly. When they see me walk on the plane, they think that at least they've got a chance to land. But I look up and I see this priest and I wait for him to, again, reclothe. I say, "What time's your..." I'm Roger from Fall River. He says, "I'm Bob from Cleveland." I said, "What time's your flight?" He said, 12:30. I said, "Mine's 12:15. You want to catch some lunch?" He said, "That would be great." So we go to the Sbarro's there at Green Airport. And at the end, I get to the cashier first, and the cashier asks, "One bill or two?" I said, "One." No, two, he says. I said, no, one. Priests should never go Dutch. We should always generously pay for it. It'll all work out in the end. Then he turns to me and he says, "The Book of Sirach says we should go Dutch." And I said, "Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you, and he didn't ask for us to pay half of Calvary. So when I'm in Cleveland, you can pay for me, Bob. I'm paying for you here." So we sit down and I said, "Was that a joke?" He said, "No, Sirach 42:3 says that we should split the price." He takes out his well-worn Bible and he shows me, and that's what the Book of Sirach says. And I said, "Bob, listen, I have a photographic memory and I don't know that. How'd you come to get to know that?" And he told me a story. He had been a priest for 24 years. He had made a commitment at his ordination that every year he would read the Bible cover to cover. He had now done it 24 times. I said, "Bob, how long does it take you?" He says, I'll read a little bit more or a little bit less any given day, depending upon the pericopes, he said. Depending upon, he doesn't cut it off in the middle of a scene. He'll finish the scene. He says anywhere from 10 to 14 minutes a day. That's all it takes. And he's not a speed reader. He's reading very meditatively. 10 to 14 minutes a day. All it takes. All it takes. So I came back, and I'm not going to have a book the way he does, but on one of my apps, a Logos app, it spits out enough for me to read Sacred Scripture every day. Converted me. Because I recognized that I didn't know Sacred Scripture the way Father Bob did. And I really have no excuse. I just got to have the same hunger to get to know Sacred Scriptures he did. 10 to 14 minutes a day. Can you make that sacrifice for God? You could read it in a half a year if you just gave up watching Wheel of Fortune every day. Think about that. Think about that. 6 months. If you just give up Pat Sajak. When we get to know Christ in Sacred Scripture, it changes our whole life. Job, in today's first reading, felt abandoned by God. He cursed the day of his birth. He didn't really know what meaning could come from having lost the members of his family, lost in a pestilence, so much of his property, all in this test that God was permitting. He didn't know. Now, granted, he came before Christ. We come after Christ. And we're called, the more we know Christ in Sacred Scripture, know the real Jesus, the more we're able to hear his voice echoing on the cross, my God, why have you abandoned me? That Jesus really does understand what we're going through. And when we get to know Jesus in Sacred Scripture, when we get to know the Psalms better, when we get to know what the prophets themselves went through, when we get to know St. Paul, then we feel, in a strange sense, even in the midst of our sufferings, not abandoned. Because we know that God's going to work everything out for the good for those who unite those experiences to him. But we've got to grasp those experiences through this greater intimate knowledge as we get to know the Lord through this incredible gift. It's at Mass that we hear Sacred Scripture the way it's ultimately supposed to be heard. We're not supposed to merely do Bible studies so that we become a scholar of the Bible. What's supposed to happen is we're supposed to give the Word our own flesh. The Word's supposed to be treasured by us, heard in such a way that we'll act on it, so that we become living, breathing exegetes, commentators, interpreters. So that if anybody wants to know what Sacred Scripture says about charity, for example, all they have to do is look at us. Toward the end of his life, after the sack of Rome, and Jerome had worked for Pope St. Damasus in the 370s and early 380s as basically his secretary, but then after Pope St. Damasus died, because he had ticked off so many people with his strong speech, he needed to leave. And so he went to Bethlehem, which is where he worked on so many of the translations. But after the sack of Rome in 410, so many of the noble Christian women had to flee Rome because the soldiers of Alaric were just trying to hunt him down to rape him. Mm-hmm. And so all of these noble women who used to be among the most charitable there were coming as beggars to Bethlehem. So St. Jerome was working on the translation of the book of Ezekiel at that time. And he said, I had to put down that work of translating Ezekiel because when they all came, we needed to translate Sacred Scripture into action. We needed to be charitable. That's the type of transformation that's supposed to occur, that all of us are supposed to be translators of Sacred Scripture, taking the words of the original and putting them into our own idiom. With all our own flesh and blood. And the way we learn how to do that is liturgically, when we hear it so as to have it change our life, and then we unite ourselves with Christ, the Word made flesh, so that we will know him intimately, like a husband and a wife know each other in consummation, and then are brought out so that his words become our words. Today, through the intercession of St. Jerome, we ponder that reality, that ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. We ask through his intercession that we will have a hunger to get to know sacred Scripture, so that we might come to know ever more Christ himself, the undying love he has for us, and the incredible plans he wants to give us if only we come to receive him in this way. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.